Welcome to Inside the Mortgage Mind, a Zenix podcast. At Zenix, our mission is to transform the mortgage industry through a commitment to excellence. On this podcast, we'll hear stories from professionals throughout the industry, from new LOs to CEOs, about their journey to achieving success. We hope you're inspired and energized by what you hear to take your business to the next level.
Hello, Dave Motley, Casey Cunningham. How are you today?
Casey, I'm great. How are you?
I am outstanding. Thank you very much. And thank you for spending a few minutes with us today. As the chairman of the MBA, I thought your voice out to our industry to hear what's going on and your thoughts would just be incredibly valuable to our listeners. So thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
So let's jump right into some questions. Let me ask you today, lots going on in our industry, and in good times, bad times, there's always still opportunities. Where do you believe the greatest opportunities are right now for mortgage companies?
You know, Casey, I think that we're in a little bit of a what I would call a Goldilocks scenario right now. We just had tax reform, and that tax reform put a little bit more money in people's pockets, so perhaps they can save more for a down payment. Perhaps employment is high, unemployment low. Rates are, even though rates have risen, somewhat over the last year, basically, they're still low and really quite affordable if you look at it from a very long-term perspective. Technology is evolving every day to improve the application process. You know, the market is really safe. It's safe in terms of mortgage products. I think that we flushed out perhaps some of the bad players that got us into trouble back in the crisis back in 2007 and 8. And here's another great opportunity, I think, is that when we look out into the future over the next decade, we anticipate that there's going to be some 16 million new households coming into being. And what MBA knows from doing some surveys is that this millennial generation, that group that's somewhere between 18 and 32, of the people that we surveyed, 80% of them wanted to be homeowners. And that means there's a long glide path, if you will, for the mortgage business for future customers. And it's our job, I think, to reach out to those folks in a way that they want to be communicated with. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And all of us that are in the business need to recognize and take advantage of every contact with consumer and referral source that we have and talk about just how good the opportunities are and how good the market is.
Well, you know what? You give me some great hope for the future for our industry when you hear those kind of statistics and those numbers. So yeah. What do you think the biggest obstacles are facing our industry today?
Well, and this is something that we've been talking about now for a year, and it's the number one issue I think that we have is lack of affordable supply, and it's a problem in virtually every metropolitan market in the country, and it's also perhaps a problem in rural areas as well. Lack of supply and what we try to do about it, what we can do about it, from a mortgage industry standpoint, it's not exactly in our wheelhouse. It's not something that we have a direct impact on. It's really a supply problem, I would characterize it as, rather than a credit problem. I think we have affordable, available credit in ample amounts at the moment, given the government's footprint in housing. But lack of supply is a big problem. And so how we can work with our local, state, county officials to streamline the process for bringing on new lots for development and new construction for builders, that's something that I think we should work with our sister trades, the home builders, the realtors, and others, to multifamily lenders as well, or multifamily builders, to try to increase the supply of housing. I think that we would be a lot busier today if there were more houses available for sale. So I think that's one of the biggest problems we have. Another problem that we have for the industry is the cost of origination has just gone crazy. The MBA says that the cost now is up over $8,500 per file, and when you consider that the average loan amount is, let's call it $200,000, a little bit north of that, but not much. So that's 4 points of cost. And where does that money come from? Well, it as you know, only lenders typically only charge a 1 point origination fee, so it's got to come from margin or gain on sale. And right now, there's a lot of pressure on that margin because supply of new mortgages is relatively muted. Lenders are shrinking their margins in order to be attractive to the consumer. It's very competitive, and so lack of supply, cost of origination, margin compression, those are the top three. And then I think we've also got to roll in there the problem that we have with the fact that we don't have reliable written guidance from the CFPB so that we know exactly what the rules are. We're still in, and I know Mick Mulvaney has said he's going to change that, and I think that they are trying to change that somewhat. But we're still living with a legacy of regulation by enforcement that held over from the Cordray regime at CFPB. So those four things are the things that I think are the biggest obstacles facing our industry today: lack of affordable supply, cost of origination, margin compression, and the lack of reliable written guidance from regulators.
So what's the greatest focus for the MBA today in leading our industry?
Well, the number one thing that we are trying to get done is GSE reform. Whether that be a full-blown congressional legislative issue or what we might call a skinny or administrative reform, that's still at the top of our list. But there are other things that are very important: regulatory relief. And one example of that is Senate Bill 2155. That Chairman Crapo of the Senate Banking Committee passed through the Senate just recently. And that bill, it was a regulatory relief package of provisions that would – actually, they were – many of those things were on our list that we at the MBA have been advocating for a while. So our focus now is to shift over to the House and try to get the House to go along with that Senate bill. One of the things that's been expressed to us is that that Senate bill needs to go through the House pretty much unchanged, because we had all of the Republican senators sign off on it. We had 17 Democratic senators sign off on it, and of those 17 Senate Democrats, they all said, "Look, we think that regulatory relief is appropriate, but this is as far as we're going, and we're not going a step further. So if you change anything, House of Representatives, and it comes back over to the Senate, it's not going to get approved. I mean, if you try to add more to it, House, we're not going to accept it back over here in the Senate. So our focus is to try to work with the House of Representatives right now and see if we can't help them find a way to sign off on Senate Bill 2155. This whole legislative process is an iterative one, and things can change over time. So this is sort of the first step, I would view it, as regulatory relief and regulatory clarity. I don't think we want to let the perfect be the enemy of the good over in the House. Let's get a package. Let's sign off on a package. Let's have Jeb Hensarling, who, of course, is the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, take a win for regulatory relief. And let's get this one on the books and put something before the president that he can sign, and he's already signaled that he will sign it. So that's the biggest thing, I think, at the moment that we are focused on. GSE reform is a longer-term initiative. It is sort of number one, but it's a longer term. Regulatory relief is something that we think we can get done now. The other thing that we're really focused on, CFPB sent out a request for review of regulations, an RFI, if you will, for folks to make comments and suggested changes on regulations and how they might better protect consumers, but also be more usable for the industry. And so MBA is heavily focused right now on responding to that RFI, and we'll be returning that back to CFPB probably within the month or so. So GSE reform, it's a big deal, and if it doesn't happen this year, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin says it's not going to happen this year. I think they're going to probably wait until Mel Watt's term expires, which will be in January of 2019. And then they're going to put somebody in there that fits the more of the administration's desire to shrink the government's footprint. And that's got some consequences to the whole marketplace and to our industry for sure. And so we're trying to have lots of meetings with Treasury to make sure that they understand the full impact of what a shrinkage in the government's footprint might mean for mortgage originators and for consumers generally. So, but I don't think GSE reform is going to happen this year. It's going to be next year, if then. But it will have been 10 years that Fannie and Freddie have been in conservatorship come this September, and it's something needs to happen there.
So, Dave, just for the listeners that are uninformed and or just not educated about the regulatory relief, can you sort of give in context, what does regulatory relief mean specifically to the loan officer or the manager today who's in a branch? And will that have any impact on their job?
Well, it means that the penalties are reduced for foot faults. It means that you could issue some corrective disclosures and not be bound by the initial disclosures that you meant. You could do a cure and have that cure satisfy the regulatory requirement, and therefore the loan would be saleable. It would not have to be put on, you know, a bank balance sheet, something along those lines. Package. But one of the main ones was the ability for independent mortgage bankers to hire former bank loan officers. So you had transitional licensing authority that's granted in this piece of legislation, so that loan officers that may have left their bank job where they were registered to be originators and now have to be licensed as an independent mortgage bank, this bill allowed for 120 days of transitional licensing authority so that they could move from one entity to a non-regulated entity and still be able to work. So it's good for that individual, obviously, and it allows for the freer flow of human capital across the marketplace. And the thing that it also did is that it allowed licensees from, say, the state of Florida to move to Texas, as an example, and continue to work under that Florida license for 120 days while they're trying to go through the licensing process in Texas, which, you know, sometimes might take, you know, a month or 60 days, maybe sometimes longer, depending on the demand. So that's one of the really big issues that MBA was focused on with this regulatory relief package.
Excellent. Well, it definitely helps to understand from context for the day-to-day LO who is in a bank, what that means to them and their future, and for the manager who's out in the market trying to find great talent.
Right.
So, you know, looking at mortgage companies today, and we got a lot of leaders that listen in, what qualities do you think, because you're running a mortgage company as well, right? What qualities do you think are the most important for successful mortgage leaders?
Well, first of all, you got to be resilient. You got to have some tough skin. You got to be passionate about the business, I think. And I think, you know, people that have been in this business for a long time are really passionate mm-hmm. about it. It's a calling, I think, to be in the mortgage business, because what we're really doing every day is we're trying to help families with probably the most important asset that they have, the biggest asset they have, and it's about home, you know. So we're trying to help people get into housing and to allow them to have their family be part of a home. So it's really more of a calling, I think, and so you need to be passionate about this business. You need to be tenacious, as I say. You got to stay after what you believe in, and compassionate Those are just some of the characteristics. But passionate and you know, helps to be smart, helps to know the programs. That's obviously important. You got to be detail oriented. But the main thing is you've got to be willing to get knocked down and pull yourself back up and hit it tomorrow morning. You can't let rejection stand in your way of making that next call, because it's going to happen. It's just part of the business. Somebody is always going to be out there promising a better deal than the one you've got, and you've just got to stay focused on what you're doing is and what your value proposition and what you can do for that borrower, for that next real estate agent, or for that next homeowner. Focus on what your value proposition is, and everything else will take care of itself.
You got it. Well, let's go ahead and end with the final question of, you know, I couldn't ask a better person. You've given a little bit of insight, but where do you see the future of our industry in your crystal ball?
Well, I really kind of think that we're going to see more tech. We're going to see more innovation from a technology standpoint, the ability to communicate with all parties, whether it's our borrower or the referral source or the seller or the title company. There's going to be more capability to communicate simultaneously, but still in a safe way, and that's going to speed up the process. It should, we hope, lower the cost of the process. And it's going to allow us all to focus more on making sure that the consumer is satisfied. Because if we forget about the consumer, then we've lost our business. And so everything we do needs to be focused on consumer satisfaction. I think that because of all of that technology, there's probably going to be a little bit higher barrier to entry into the mortgage business, because it's just, you know, technology costs a lot of money, and until you can get it up and running and working for you, it's expensive. It is really expensive. And then with all of that technology, I think that we're going to see more self-serve options for borrowers, so that they can get the information they need when they need it, when they want it, in the way that they want to receive it. And then that's not going to replace loan officers. There's always going to be room for the consultant, and it may change that role a little bit. It may allow that consultant role to handle more borrowers at the same time, instead of sort of the rifle shot that we've experienced over the last 20, 30 years. But I think more self-serve options for borrowers to allow them to get what they need when they want it. I think that's the future.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for your insight. I think you and I could talk, and I could ask you a million more questions. We may ask to invite you back, because I'd love to go even further and deeper out of respect for your time. And, of course, my listeners wanted to make sure that we kept it short, but also on point. So you've given me great hope, as I serve the mortgage industry exclusively today in helping them in performance. So.
We sure appreciate everything Zinnex does for the industry. You guys do a great job, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you today.
Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate the ability to have served your mortgage company as well, and continue to do so. So have an incredible day, and we will talk again soon.
That sounds great.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check back next week for a new episode of Inside the Mortgage Mind, a podcast from Zinnex, the Mortgage Academy.